providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these final two segments, I am chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion Share website, which I will post a link to within this weekend show posting. Now, Dana and I are going to jump around to a number of different markets, as we usually do, getting Dana's updated outlooks on how these markets are setting up, whether there are any opportunities on the long side or the short side. Dana, starting with the U.S. equity markets, you've been calling these markets pretty much spot on through the run last year and then the rollover that we've seen pretty much all this year. I have heard a lot of arguments that the markets broadly have sold off so much that they should be due for some sort of a bounce here, whether it's just a dead cat bounce or a bear market rally. Fact of the matter is, though, there is no optimism out there for the broad averages. What are you seeing? Any hope, any opportunities on the long side?
You know what, in the longer term, we see a lot of evidence for that pessimism on the part of investors. So we're not optimistic in the longer term. In the shorter term, you know, yes, it's true, we've sold off, especially in the growth side of the market has got hammered enough that at any time you could get a bounce of, you know, 4, 5, 10%. And even if that happens, though, it doesn't mean it changes the course of the markets. It doesn't change the trajectory of the trend. We'll still be in the downtrend, but it just makes it a little bit more precarious if you're trying to press your shorts down here after things have sold off so much. Because, like I said, you could bounce 5-10% in some of these markets and not even change the trend, you know. So you got to pick your spots. Don't get too aggressive on the downside in shorting. Just like, you know, when we're ripping to the upside, you don't have to be chasing the markets. Wait for your entry point, like we mentioned before the call. You know, it's like baseball and softball. I'm coaching my son and my two daughters in baseball and softball right now. I keep telling them, you know, especially when you got a hitter's count, 2-0, 3-1, whatever, and you have the luxury of waiting for your pitch, wait for your pitch. You don't have to swing at everything, and that's pretty much where we're at right now. We've weathered the storm this year in our portfolios. We're about break even on the year, so we've pretty much limited all of the damage, and we can afford to be aggressive when those opportunities present themselves. But right now, we're doing a lot of sitting on our hands and waiting for, you know, like I said, waiting for those fat pitches, which we're not necessarily seeing right now on the long side or short side. So we're pretty defensive still.
Well done being just flat on the year, because boy, oh boy, there really hasn't been anything that has been performing all that well outside of energy, but that's even pulled back. We'll get into the energy sector in a while. Dana, any comments on a little bit of this higher volume that we've seen, at least over the last about week now, when the markets really did sell off in about the second week of June? We have seen an increase in volume. Is that any indication that this could be a bottom?
People always get wrapped up in volume. I think volume is one of the more overrated aspects of market analysis. You always see more volume on the downside than the upside, just because it's more of, you know, emotional event when the markets sell off. When you do see volume starting to accumulate while we are on an upswing, I think that's a positive sign. I don't think necessarily we've seen that enough, especially you get this bump up in volume a lot at the end of a quarter, especially around June when you have all this rebalancing. So this is not unusual to see. In our estimation, in our analysis, we don't see anything on the volume side that would necessarily point us in the direction of being more bullish or being more optimistic right now. So if that happened, then we'd be, you know, we're happy to change gears. We just have not seen that.
So I guess to your point of it being a hitter's count, as long as you hold cash, then you are in the driver's seat. You don't have to be invested all the time. Any shorting opportunities right now then?
As far as an entry point, not right here exactly. We are still hedged, so our favorite shorts are the same, NASDAQ and growth stuff, but that's balanced with some longs in our portfolio, so we're not too aggressive there. But we think there is more downside eventually here in the NASDAQ and the tech area. So we like the shorting the NASDAQ. We are short Europe, pretty sizable short position in Europe. We think that's a mess, and we think it's going lower. And also small caps. We got a small short position on the small caps. But again, that's balanced against several long positions in our portfolio. And it, like you mentioned, a ton of cash. So at this very moment, I don't see a lot of great entry points, even on the short side or on the long side. Or although, like you mentioned energy a moment ago, we are getting close to where we would look to buy the dip again in some of the energy stocks, some of the energy equities.
Okay, let's talk about commodities then. Energy, you're looking to buy the dip here. Energy, oil, they have pulled back a fair bit. And the stocks, I think, even started to tell everybody that there would be some weakness in the underlying energy price. Are you looking at any certain levels in oil, in any of the ETFs that you're trading that you can share with us?
Yeah, sure. So full disclosure, we did buy the dip a little bit early last week in some of the energy stocks, some of the ETFs. We trade all ETFs. So XLE and XOP are the two ETFs that we're trading the most right now. Mostly at A, they've showed relative strength. B, they have a lot of clarity on the charts. You know, they're pretty clean on the charts. So the levels are pretty distinct for us. We did jump in a little bit early and they sliced through our initial buy level. So we stopped ourselves out last week. We are looking to buy again as they're approaching more substantial levels nearby though. So just to share a couple spots. So XLE, the energy spider, looking just under 67 for an entry point. And then XOP is the exploration production ETF. We're looking down around 117 for another entry point into that one. And we do trade USO. Again, we trade all ETFs. On that one, we're looking just under $75 to get back into that one.
Okay, XLE, looking at that, your target 67, XLE trading right around 70, so maybe just a little bit of downside. Dana, when you look at something like energy and how quickly it has dropped too, and how much it was really the standout sector, is that also carrying over to any of the other broad financial market calls that when you do have what was the standout sector starting to correct fairly hard, shows just how weak everything is?
Yeah, like we talked about, I think last time I was on, when those leading sectors do finally succumb, then it's usually the case where, okay, there's nowhere to hide. Right now, you're kind of seeing maybe some smattering of rotation because you're seeing people trying to play the dips in technology and some of the growth areas that have lifted over the last few days as they sell off some of these commodity names and the energy names. So I don't think, again, you have to go back, take a bigger picture. Is the long-term downtrend in growth stocks over? No. Is the long-term uptrend in energy stocks over? No. So I don't think there's a longer-term rotational play going on here. We would still be in the camp of buying that energy dip. Yes, the short-term momentum is the downside, but that longer-term uptrend is still in place. So we're still in the buy-the-dip mentality when it comes to energy, and we'd still be in the sell or short the rip mentality when it comes to growth stocks, NASDAQ, and tech. So I don't think this short-term rotational move over the last week or so, I don't think that's, I think that's noise. I don't think it moves the needle at all.
What about other commodities? Let's start with copper, because copper has been pretty noteworthy. It's fall this week below $4 and seemingly to be under a fair bit of pressure. A lot of people use copper as an economic barometer. Either way, copper, that's also falling. We haven't talked about copper. How do you view this commodity?
Yeah, still in the same camp, you know, long term, like the other ones, we're still in an uptrend, but in the short term, the momentum's lower. So we have traded some of the copper ETFs of late. Well, I should say not of late, over the last year or two. Made some decent profits on the upside. Obviously, the short-term trend is lower right now, not anywhere near where probably we'd buy it back, but still on our radar. Once this counter trend move in commodities runs its course, which we think it will, we think the commodity trend is still up, broadly and in the specific subsectors of commodity land, including the metals, including energy, and including grains. We'll be looking for fat pitches again in which to buy the dip and play the upside again. So not right now as far as copper is concerned, but down the road a little bit.
Now, you mentioned a lot of commodities still in these longer term uptrends. How close are a lot of these commodities, though, to breaking down below these long term trends?
Most of them are, I would say, are not close. The precious metals complex, probably the worst off, really testing, especially in the miners, the gold and silver miners, really testing the limit as far as support levels that we need to see hold, or else it's going to open, you know, some further potential downside. So actually right where we are right now, we'd be close to blowing out some of our miners' positions just because it would open up that further downside move. Eventually, I think we will see that new upleg in the bull market in the precious metals complex. But right now, you know, in the short term, anything can happen. And we're seeing gold and silver as well, testing the pretty much the bottom of the channels or the bottom of their trading range. So I would say, as far as any the commodity subsectors of commodity land, I would say precious metals are in the most precarious position right here.
How do you view the underlying stocks, like gold and silver stocks? Because you look at something like SIL, that's coming very close to breaking to new multi-year lows. Same with GDX and GDXJ. They are so close to further breaking down. How worried are you about a further breakdown there?
Right. No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. The GDX and SILs and SILJs of the world, they're treading on very thin ice right here, threatening to break down. So if we do see a decisive break below those prior lows, that certainly opens up further downside to the next substantial level. So definitely something we don't want to see. We are long a couple of those names, GDX, SILJ. We don't want to see decisive new lows, or else, again, that opens up further kind of an air pocket lower until we find some other more substantial support levels.
Yeah, it can be pretty scary if those break down even further for everyone holding those stocks. Let's also talk about the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar continues to rise. You even mentioned that you're short European markets. I think that also ties into the fact that the European currency has been pretty weak, which helps the U.S. dollar. How much higher do you think the dollar could go?
We typically don't try to put targets on any of the markets. We'll ride the uptrends as long as they last. And right now, the dollar's obviously in an uptrend. We're still long. We're happy to buy the dip in the dollar right now. You know, the dollar index got support down around 102. I would say if we do get another burst higher, the next area of upside potential resistance that we're seeing up around 110 on the dollar index. So we're trading, right now around like 104. So a decent bit of upside still to go. But I think the the main point is always ride the trend. And right now, you know, as tempting as it is for many people, you know, call a top in the dollar or like it is in a bull trend, uptrend in stocks, you're safer off riding the trend. And right now the trend is higher. And, you know, like you mentioned, the euro and pretty much almost any other currency, the trend is down. So it's best to trend is your friend, as they say. And there's a good reason for that expression.
Absolutely. Don't fight it either. Sometimes you just need to accept it and understand where it's going. Let's also talk about yields, because trend definitely higher in yields. However, yields have, I guess, maybe put in a short-term peak just about a week ago. The 10-year got up to almost 3.5% right on the back of that Fed meeting, but now it's pulled back closer to 3%, a bit volatile in the yield environment. Where do you see yields going?
Yeah, it's part of this counter trend, you know, inflationary or disinflationary trade, you know, with commodities pulling back off their recent peak. Same thing with bond yields pulling back from near that 350 level, like you said. Longer term, as you know, we are, you know, bond bears. We think that 40-year bull market ended in 2020, and yields rise for the better part of the next few decades. So they could go much, much higher. Obviously, nothing in a straight line, but we will continue to look to short bonds on any pullback in yields. Right now, I would say you've got some support approaching around that 3% level, and below that down around 275. So those are a couple areas in the 10-year where we would probably look to add some further short exposure.
All right, one final sector we're going to talk about, that being Bitcoin. I think we've covered the fall in Bitcoin very well, but it seems to have stabilized right around this $20,000 level. Big question is, do we see a further breakdown? Is there a rally here? We all know how volatile Bitcoin can be. So what do you think, Dana? What's more likely, up or down for Bitcoin?
No idea. We're standing aside for now. You know, we did all right on some long trades early in the year. Got out of the way in March because we thought we saw some downside coming in Bitcoin and Ethereum. Down towards about on Ethereum, down around that 1700 level, about 28,000 on Bitcoin. So we got down there, took a stab at them, kind of ran in place for a couple weeks. Then, about a week or two ago, broke down. So we stopped out of those positions. And right now we're just standing aside. There is some minor reason to expect these areas to hold, i.e. around that 17,000 level on Bitcoin, and then Ethereum down around that 1,000 level, but not compelling enough for us to take a stand. Not a fat enough pitch, you know, for us to take a swing at. So whatever, which way it goes from here, up or down, it'll probably do so without us, because we don't see any compelling reason to get involved right now.
I like that, how we go full circle back to the working the count, right? Taking your time, making sure you get the pitch and the setup you're looking for. Final comment, though, when you've mentioned a number of times about placing stops within your trades and recently getting stopped out of some trades. How important, in your eyes, are stops for investors during this kind of a market, especially a bear market?
Yeah, you know, you have to stay disciplined. We don't necessarily place explicit stops, but when we do have levels that if are breached, then we see, you know, air pockets below. We see a high likelihood of subsequent levels being reached. Then we will stop ourselves out and wait for, you know, that next pitch, you know. So especially in a high beta market, like, you know, you mentioned cryptos, some of the energy names that we've been trading lately that have been moving a ton. We don't, you know, we're happy. We think eventually prices will come back. So if it was something like consumer staples or utilities or something, we might hold it. But if it's a very volatile instrument and we see, you know, material downside before bouncing back, we just assume stop ourselves out, wait for that next level to get back in, and then ride it from there. So no reason to take unnecessary losses while you're waiting for that next fat pitch. So like you said, especially in the type of bear market, a waterfall decline where you're trying to maybe catch a falling knife, that usually you're not going to hit it. You're not going to bat a high percentage doing that. So the wins you do pick up will probably be home runs, but you're also going to strike out a lot, and you'd rather, you know, take that quick loss before you get hammered even further. So yes, in these high volatile type of markets, maintaining discipline on your stop loss levels is extremely important.
All right, Dana, thank you so much for your time on this weekend show. I've been so impressed at how you've been calling and playing these markets on the upside and now on the downside this year. I appreciate all the insights you share with us. And everybody, thank you for tuning in this weekend. As always, you can keep in touch with me through email, fleck@kereport.com. Next week, Chad will be back, and we'll continue to cover these markets, hopefully with some bounces coming. But boy, oh boy, it's been a tough year, and still looks like it'll be a pretty slow to tough summer for everybody. Dana, thank you again for your time, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you all have a great weekend.